Pacific Dome, Bill Hendrick.
Welcome back here to the world of should we call the show that? The World of Phil Hendry? I was going to say the Phil Hendry Show. I was also going to say the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and it came out the World of.
Wonderful World of Phil.
What about the Wonderful World of Disney? Well, not Disney, but.
Yeah, the Wonderful World of Disney. Because my name isn't Disney.
No, but I mean the Wonderful. What was it called? Wonderful World?
Yeah, it was called The Wonderful World. Great. So The Wonderful World of Phil is what it would be called if that's what I wanted to call it, but I don't. But that's what almost came out of my mouth. And why is that? I don't know.
Because you wanted to say world famous and Phil Hendry.
Right. But really, more to the point, I wanted to say it is turning into kind of a world unto its own because, you know, as I've tried to say to the audience here over the last 6 years, 6 years I've been telling you guys this. 6 years I've been saying we're in the middle of a, you know, when we say we're in the middle of a media revolution, I'm not just whistling Dixie here, man. It's not some fancy way of saying, wow, things sure are tough out there. No, I'm telling you, the whole world, my industry, everything's changing. I'm telling you that there may not be a thing called radio in 10 years. You understand that? I'm sure people understand that. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is this. There is such a shift and such a change in terms of how things are being delivered, how communication is happening, how entertainment is happening, how things are getting to you from us. Me, the professional, quote-unquote, entertainer slash commentator slash guy on the radio slash aggressive entrepreneur, you know. And things are changing so drastically and quickly and radically that you may one day get up and say, gee, let me turn on the radio and it doesn't exist any longer. You have to either go to your internet radio or, you know, it's all digitized or something. So the reason why I'm bringing all of this up is there are all kinds of different companies that we're dealing with now. And I am a business owner. I am a individual who owns his own radio show and the means by which it is delivered. Okay. And that's where it's at. There's no radio station that I work for. I don't work for any radio station. So now I'm dealing with all these companies. One of the kinds of companies I'm dealing with are guys that deliver video images to mobile phones. Now, I know that doesn't sound like it should be a tough thing, but apparently it is because Apple doesn't use Flash Media. They use something else. So we have to find people that will take the signal and turn it into something that is good for Android phones, for iPhones, for all kinds of platforms and devices. And we have to do that, something that's affordable. And you got to make sure the company knows what it's doing. Well, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. Because it's just like everything else. It's just like buying a car. It's just like finding a car and getting a good service plan. The guys talk a real good game, and then when it comes time to delivering, and I mean, I'm just in the middle of this. I'm just telling you, because I know a lot of you people who are listening tonight, and I don't say you people.
You have to be careful with the you people, Phil.
I'm not saying it racially.
Yeah, but, you know, even if you say you people, everyone's go, what, do you think yours doesn't smell bad in the morning? You know.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, bud.
No, I'm saying you people.
I didn't mean it racially.
Well, all right, so you didn't mean it racially. Do you mean it economically? Do you mean it in terms of... It could be a lot of things, Phil.
My listeners, okay? My listeners. A lot of my listeners. You're in business. You know what I mean. And so these are very interesting times. Very interesting times. And it's very competitive, too. So, you know, if someone says to me, yes, Mr. Hendry, we can deliver the video cast of your radio show to iPhones by using our fantastic and groovy thing that we have here, and here's how much it costs, and then it ain't what it is, then guess what? Goodbye! Because I'll tell you, if you guys think you're going to make your millions getting a contract with Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or the Irving Farquhar Intergalactic Radio Show, which is way bigger and has more money, you be my guest, man. You go ahead, you go out, you hit the ball out of the park and get that big money account and get rich and famous in 2 seconds without breaking a sweat and just keep making the same mistakes everybody else has been making over the years. And your ass is going to be on the street looking for cigarette butts and wondering what happened. And I'll be down the road dealing with a company that wants to deal with guys like me. That's the way the game is played now.
Well, what do you mean their ass is going to be on the street? I mean, what they're doing is they're trying to make a living, too.
If you're going to try to make a living, if you're a company and you're waiting for just the big money contract, we're not going to mess with that because that's not a very big contract. We want to go to the big guy. I'm telling you, you're making a huge mistake. You're just, there ain't no such thing anymore. That's what everybody's been talking about. There's no such thing as buying a house and flipping it and making another couple of hundred grand. There's no such thing as the quick money anymore. So forget it, baby. All right, what do we got here, bud?
This is the Revolution Televised.
You might be surprised what Cubans are watching. Over the past two decades, the U.S. government has spent some $500 million to beam news and commentary with an anti-Castro bent into Cuba, but the programming hasn't exactly been a rating success, because it sucks. So how do Cuban TV viewers reconcile these dueling impressions? Well, wait a minute. The Cuban government controls all media on the island and views the broadcast as enemy propaganda, so it jams the signals. The Miami-based stations, radio and TV Martí. Oh, yeah, radio and TV Martí. I remember this.
What's that?
That the anti-Cuba?
Yeah, it's anti-Castro stuff that has been coming out of Miami for a great many years. They've spent still more money trying to overcome this by transmitting from moving airplanes, but the broadcast reached less than 1% of Cuba's 11 million residents, according to a recent report. Meanwhile, hours and hours of subversive American programming fill Cuba's airwaves each day, attracting millions of viewers on the island with shows like Desperate Housewives, Friends, and Grey's Anatomy.
I don't understand. So the propaganda doesn't make it.
The propaganda that, you know, yeah, the what they call the American propaganda on Radio Martí is not getting in because it's being jammed by the Cubans. But what the Cubans are not jamming are American television shows like Desperate Housewives, Friends, and Grey's Anatomy. Cuba is broadcasting these shows. With Radio and TV Martí and its $34 million annual budget facing growing skepticism in Congress, the Miami station's defenders insist they're helping to break the Cuban government's monopoly on information. The Cuban government ain't got no monopoly on information because they're one of the things they're doing is they're piping in Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Housewives, and Bodies by Jake.
You kidding?
Yes, I don't know what they're, you know.
Are they, yeah, are they really?
No. No, they're not.
Bodies by Jake.
No, they're not. I don't know.
Well, what are they doing?
I don't know, Margaret. They don't have Bodies by Jake. Whatever they're doing. In other words, what Cuba is allowing to air are television shows that emanate and are produced in America, and they are allowing this because the people dig the hell out of the shows, and so it gets people to watch. And I guess they aren't aware of the fact that in and of itself, that's a kind of propaganda. It is a kind of way of selling a democratic society's values. And they may think that it, I know a lot of these countries, totalitarian and communist countries in the past have said, this is a fantastic way to show our people how decadent and degenerate the West is. That never works. That never works. Never. People don't look at that and say, oh, yeah, thank you very much for showing me how decadent America is, because it's just, wow, it's really shocking the hell out of me, man, as I look at the housewives there in the baubles and the bangles, the beads, the lives, the houses, the husbands, the martini lunches. You know, that really sucks. Sure, I'm glad I'm in Cuba. It don't work like that. Every night, Cuban television viewers are treated to programming lineups loaded with contradictory messages. From 6:30 to 8:30 or so, the government's news and commentary predictably depict the United States as a racist, dysfunctional, and violent mess, highlighting all the day's negative stories. Then the same, in other words, they just, you know, load up the CNN. And anyway...
Really?
I don't know. Then the same state-owned TV channels fill their primetime slots with Hollywood movies and American programs loaded with images of prosperous, fat American households, brilliant American doctors, fair-minded American courts of law, all populated by exceedingly healthy and charismatic actors of every race and ethnicity.
So, in other words, what they're doing is... What are they doing?
What they're doing is they're putting on stuff the people will watch. They're putting on stuff the people will watch. And they're not even... They're putting on stuff the people will watch, and before they watch it, they're telling everyone what a toilet bowl... it all comes from.
Yeah, well, they're saying if it was a toilet bowl, then what's coming out of the toilet bowl is good.
Yeah, that is a contradictory message if you think about it.
Of course it is, you know. I mean, if maybe I used the wrong image.
No, now, hold on. If you're saying, or they're saying, that American culture is a toilet bowl, and then they are serving up something the people want to eat, what is that about?
Toilet bowl is a wrong... Well, yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying that what comes out of our toilet bowl is edible.
What? I mean, that's, you know.
Hey, bud, do me a favor. Don't yell in my ear, okay?
Nah, no kidding, man. What?
You're all like this. What? It's right in my left ear, okay?
I can hear you over here, bud, fine.
Well, you're talking about stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking about stuff. What about it?
You're going that the Chinese are piping in toilet bowl TV.
I didn't say Chinese.
Cuban, man. I mean, Cubans are piping in toilet bowl.
The Cubans are piping in American television that the Cuban people want to watch. You can't keep people away from what they want. I don't give a damn how totalitarian a government is. And if the people want to watch, look, American television beams into Cuba anyway. Miami television stations are going to get into Cuba anyway. The Cuban government would rather be showing the Cuban people the shows they want them to see. So they show them the stuff they know the people are going to want to see anyway, which is Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy and Walking Dead.
Really? I don't think I'm Walking Dead.
I don't know that Walking Dead would... I think Walking Dead would actually be a very good show. Why don't they show that?
I don't know. It would be a good show because they can say, here it is. This is the future of capitalism right here. This is the American consumer. Once the bacteria gets loose from the lab, boom, there it is, a ghoul, you know.
That'd be good.
Yeah, tell you something, Cuba, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but maybe you are, you got to be out of your minds that you ain't pumping that walking dead, man, because that's the perfect message to send to the Cuban people. They'll be entertained by it. You could say, and look what happens if you are a consumer material sucking American, sooner or later you become soulless, you become a ghoul, and you can walk and crawl without your leg, you're the undead. And the next thing you know, they won't want to have nothing to do with us. No way, man. Mm-mm.
Well, I think that's a little wishful thinking.
Maybe. According to Javier Torres, a 32-year-old Havana resident, I think Cuban TV's main goal is educational, he said. His only major gripe about state-run programming is the lack of diverse viewpoints on news and commentary programs. His favorite show is the prison drama Oz. Yeah, I'll bet it is.
What does that mean?
I don't know. His favorite show is the prison drama Oz. So they're going to show that. They show American prison shows. All right, let's take a break and get into this, dig into this further, because this is fascinating stuff. Look at this. The number one show in Cuba, 101 Dalmatians. No, the number one show in Cuba, Gilmore Girls.
Really?
I don't know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We are trying to get on air in Cuba.
I got to be careful, man. I'm one of these guys. I fire off emails and then I regret that I ever wrote the email. Do you ever do that?
No, I mean exactly what I say.
You mean exactly what you say. When you fire off an email and you say to somebody, why, you low life. By the way, Don Berman's appearance on our show the other night, that quote of his went viral.
Which one?
That's where he said, you lousy whore.
Yes, when he was on our show, he was Los Alamitos. He was rooting home some horsey bet, Sassafras.
Oh, that's, and he kept calling the animal. You know something? I can't put up with much more of that.
Well, that was only the one time we had on. He was kept saying, come on, you dirty whore. That's what he was calling the horse that he had bet.
I expect the horse going to win.
Well, the horse not going to get all offended by it. You know what it means.
Then why are people root? Why do they root it? Why do they root on it?
Why do they root on the horse? You mean why do they root for the horse?
Yeah, why do they root for the horse?
Because that's what people do, you know.
Yeah, but a horse doesn't understand.
They're not really yelling at. Yes, I know the horse doesn't understand. Oh.
Well, it's a good question, Phil. Why would people cheer for a horse if they don't? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Because human beings are like that. We like to yell and cheer and scream and. And blow our guts loose. You know, what do you want from me? He was yelling for his horse, Sassafras, calling it a dirty whore. And that isn't because the horse was going to get offended. That was the weird part about that for me. The weird part about that for me was that he would just say that. In other words, it's kind of a negative sense, isn't it? If you're rooting home a horse and you want the horse to do well,
And you're calling it a dirty whore. I mean, what does that say?
But probably he's not used to winning or anything.
Yeah, he's not. He's probably not a very lucky gambler.
Well, that could be. But in any event, when we quoted him on the show the other night, it was that. We quoted that on Facebook, and the whole thing went viral. Brad Rifkin is with us in Las Vegas tonight here on a world famous Phil Hendry show. And Brad, I know you run an advertising agency. You also are a gambler, but you're not an addicted gambler. You live in Las Vegas, huh?
Like Las Vegas, Phil, you definitely are definitely prone to gambling, however innocent, and I enjoy it. I like to go and bet football. I do the sports book and things like that. So it's nothing. It's not too serious. But to the point that you were just making there about rooting home a horse, you had a football coach on your program, the high school coach, who I think has been on your show talking about that.
Talking about what?
Well, he's talking about the fans in the stands when they root for someone. And he took great offense to the fact that most high schools and most colleges, as you know, have cheerleaders. And the cheerleaders are going to stand there on a sideline and they're going to say, go, 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 and score, score, score. The same can be said for basketball in college and high school basketball, where they say, score, 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 this kind of thing. It can be viewed as offensive to a very hardworking team. And so if you're yelling for your horse...
Why is that offensive?
Yes.
Well, I mean, don't you think the basketball team knows that they need to score? That's number one.
Of course they do, but these are the fans.
Oh, hold on. That's number one. Number two, don't you think the football team knows they got to go down the field? So why do they have some kid screaming at them and yelling at them, and they got girls there that are cheerleaders? My daughter was a cheerleader for exactly 1 week until I saw the routine, and I said, that's the end of that. Because here's my daughter engaged in telling the team, hey, go, score, score, which is absolutely asinine because they already know that's what they got to do. So why she stands there in a little short skirt and with nothing underneath but her underwear, and I'm going to have my daughter out there, she's turning flips, and she's showing the underwear to guys I sure don't want her to show underwear to. That's another thing. You know, not for nothing, but if you have a daughter who is a cheerleader and you know guys that are at the game, other friends of yours, fathers that you know, do you want your daughter showing her underwear to those guys? So they...
Hold on for a minute, man, because I think, you know, for a guy that bets on sports, I don't think you get it at all.
No, I do get it. That's the point.
No, I don't think you do. Okay?
Well, he's talking about his daughter turning a flip.
Yeah, a lot of times the dress goes over their head.
But that's not underwear. That's a leotard.
Yeah, what do you mean underwear?
You can call it look, let me tell you something. A rose by any other name, the poet said, would still smell as sweet. And a pair of underwear, and I don't mean my daughter now. I'm just talking about like you or me, Phil. Our underwear, you could call it anything, but it still smells at the end, you know, when you got to wash it, right?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
There's nothing wrong. Where are you going, man? So, in other words, a pair of underwear is what?
A pair of underwear worn by you and I is going to stink to high heaven at the end of the day.
Yeah, so what?
You were talking about your daughter.
But the point, you're right, I used a bad example, but the point I'm trying to make is a leotard by any other name is still my daughter with her dress over her head and guys that I know from the track staring at it. That's never going to do. That's never going to wash in my world, in your world, or anybody else's world.
Brad Rifkin is with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. He's the head of Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas, Nevada. He also is a man who likes to bet on sporting events. We're discussing here this idea of cheering for the horse in the stand. Don Berman was on our show. Do you know Don?
I do know Don very well, yeah.
All right, Don was on our show and was yelling something that a lot of people took offense at. He was live on the air with us, and he was cheering for a horse, calling it, you dirty whore. Now, a couple of people, you know, on my staff here were questioning, the horse can't hear that, so that's not offensive to the horse.
Of course it's not offensive to the horse. No, it's not offensive to the horse. But to say so there's no point in getting upset about it. That's what I'm saying, see?
All right, but... If you don't want a little cheerleader saying go, 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 because you know that that's what you got to do and that's offensive to you that she's telling you that, then isn't it offensive to the jockey to have the horse that he's riding? Well,
no, Phil, the jockey don't care if you call his horse a whore. Wow.
You kidding?
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. We'll discuss this in depth. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're going to do what? You're going to discuss this in depth?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake, Phil. I mean, I could...
Phil, you can call a horse anything. The horse ain't going to be able to do nothing about it. The horse don't even talk English.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here. Brad Rifkin on the line with us here. Just one other thing before we get back to this discussion on sports and the idea of who gets offended. All I said was that Don Berman said, come on, you dirty whore, to a horse that he'd bet on.
Right. And I don't disagree. I mean, if people were offended by that, then most likely they don't like the fact that someone could hear it in the stands, maybe, or they didn't like the fact you said it on your radio program, Phil. But, again, we have to reiterate, the horse can't hear it. The jockey, it doesn't matter the jockey. I don't know how long you've been around horse racing. I know you grew up in a horse racing town.
Yeah, I grew up in Arcadia.
All right, so you grew up around the Santa Anita racetrack. And so, you know, these jockeys are tough guys. I mean, they're little guys, and I think that fools a lot of people into thinking, well, there's probably no tougher athlete out there than a jockey because, you know, these are guys that are on top of a horse that's running hell-bent for leather. That animal is going full speed, and you are in a pack of them, and you are trying to control this animal around other guys that are trying to do the same thing. What false move? You go down, you could die, you know, and I don't know of any tackle yet in football where there is a probability or a very high possibility that you're going to die when the tackle is made. But if you're a jockey and you're on top of a thoroughbred racehorse in the backstretch going full tilt, and that horse goes down for whatever reason, there is a good chance you're going to be seriously injured, maybe lose the locomotion in your limbs, or you'll die. Now, you know, I don't know of any athlete in the world that has to face that, other than a race car driver. But even still, a race car driver is, you know...
Race car drivers are protected with roll cages and...
Yeah, they got a lot of things around them. So, yeah, our jockeys, thoroughbred jockeys, are tough dudes.
Well, I agree. I agree with you. And I've met a few of them down through the years, and they are tough guys. And they're very strong, physically strong men. You have to be. But I still don't understand what this has to do with the...
The whole dirty whore thing.
Well, I think that Don Berman yelling something like that in the face of a man like a thoroughbred jockey that is strong and is that kind of resourceful and substantial man, I think it's typical of a glamour push like a Don Berman, you know.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I just think that a glamour boy like a Don Berman is going to sit up in the grandstands hiding behind his binoculars and yelling dirty whore at a man who may be 4 foot two or whatever, but, you know...
Yeah, he can bring it.
You better believe he can bring it. He's four, you know, yeah, and that's very well said, Margaret, because the guy may be 4 foot two and
eyes are blue.
Eyes are blue.
This is the second time you've done that, bud.
But the guy said 4 foot two.
Just because a guy says 4 foot two or 5 foot two doesn't mean you got to come with the line "Eyes of Blue."
That's a song. Is that an old song?
Yes, it's an old 4 foot two, Eyes of Blue. Oh, what that midget can do for you! I don't know what the song is.
It's "Has Anybody Seen My Gal?" What is it with you, man?
I don't know. I remember the song as a kid when they say 5 foot two, Eyes of Blue. What the midget will do for you?
Not what a midget will do for you. First of all, that's a hateful word, okay?
Why is it hateful?
Phil thinks that's like the N-word for little people.
Oh, well, you get out of here, Henry?
I'm telling you that that's what I've my understanding is, and so I don't want that word used.
Right, gotta call him. Dwarf?
No, you don't use dwarf either. Little people. Little people. You understand? That's the way it's going to be on this show. Get it?
My God, Phil, it's...
Little people. Brad?
Yeah, fine. That's okay.
All right, so when you say 5'2", eyes of blue, that's a song, man. That's got nothing to do with anything.
Well, I'm just saying to... I'm sorry, but I agree with Phil, but I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You went 4'2".
So I said 4'2", so what? That don't mean you got to come with eyes of blue. I could say 4'2", and you could have said anything. You know, don't have to rhyme. Jesus.
I can't believe this is the only radio show in the world that has these kinds of conversations.
Well, Phil, I think you invite it when you say the things that you say in the rhythmic manner that you do, you know?
No, I don't know.
When you say 4'2", you know...
I didn't sing it like that.
Well, maybe I did. I don't remember.
I think one of you went for... Well, you know that these jockeys are 4'2", and then...
Yeah, and then I say, has anybody seen it?
Has anybody seen it?
Ain't that... I don't know.
No, man, the song goes 4'2", eyes of blue. Some. Has anybody seen... You know, has anybody seen it?
Not has anybody seen it, has...
You know, I got to tell you something, Phil. You're right. It is weird, but you waste more time. Why don't you just blow it off and...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
See, that... Thank you very much for saying that, Brad. I say to Phil all the time, you can get frustrated over the stupidity that pours out of this radio show on a minute-by-minute basis, or you can just keep pushing through it. That's all you can do, Phil. There's a lot of really stupid stuff that gets said on your radio show. Wouldn't you agree?
Margaret?
Just humor me. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
All right. Then why not just push through it the way an icebreaker? Remember those icebreakers you saw on TV that you were so impressed with?
Yeah, the icebreakers at the...
Up at a polar cap?
Yes, Phil saw this show on TV, and he was just going on and on about the icebreakers, how marvelous they were.
I thought it was impressive.
All right. Then you be an icebreaker in the middle of all of these idiots. You be... Because your show, Phil, is locked in an ice cap of... Just, to use your words, in an ice cap of dumbass.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree, huh? Well, thank you, Professor Dickman. You agree.
Well, it's like...
Yeah, no, but Phil, so be the icebreaker, break through it, push through it, walk through that pile of fresh, almost liquid cow dung, and come out smelling fresh.
That's a very good point, Phil. You know, it's like when you do a radio show, and I say this with a great affection for you, Phil, but when you do a radio show, it's like, especially your show, it's like you've got to wade through a very hot, soft cow patty.
All right. God.
Well, but you understand.
Yes, I understand.
And you come out, if you can come out of that smelling fresh as a daisy.
It'll be a miracle.
Why?
Are you kidding? The idea of walking through cow dung and coming out smelling like fresh as a daisy would be a miracle anyway. And if you're saying that this radio show is so steeped in stupidity... That's what I got to look forward to. I don't know that I can even survive it. We're talking here with Brad Rifkin. All right, let's get off of this topic, okay?
Well, I mean, you want to get off the calling a horse a whore, yeah. But the fact remains that we've got in this country this epidemic.
Well, let me ask you a question, Brad. You know, I've never been one for cheerleading. I was a cheerleader. I'm glad that I don't have a daughter, and I don't have to deal with that. I have a son, and my son never evidenced any interest in being... You know, on the drill team, my son is a football player. He's not a cheerleader, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
So I've never had that kind of connection. But, let me just say this. When I was at Penn, and I went to the University of Pennsylvania, we were in the Ivy League, and I would be on the sideline saying, go, 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 go. And... To me, that was a logical thing.
It may be logical for you as a cheerleader to say, go, 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 go. That may be fine. But the fact of the matter is, when you was, who are you saying that to?
I'm saying it to the football team.
Well, they already know they got to go, go, go. So You leaning on him like that.
What kind of a stupid conversation are we having here?
Why?
Why can't a cheerleader say go, go, go?
Because the football team already knows they got to go, go, go.
Maybe they're not doing it for the football team. They're doing it for the fans.
Well, the fans? What do you mean the fans? The fans? What are you talking about?
Look, the whole idea of cheerleading, you know.
But you don't understand, Phil.
Hold on, bud. The whole idea of cheerleading is to get the crowd involved in exhorting and encouraging the team.
That's my whole point. The team don't need to be encouraged or exhorted, however you want to put it, because these guys play football. That's their game. And you're going to stand there and go, hey, go, go, get a football, get the football, go in for the end zone. Like they look, if I was a football player, I'd look up in the stands and go, who the hell are you talking to? Do you think you're talking to idiots? Of course I know that.
They're not saying that because they are reminded. They're not saying it because you guys don't know. They're saying it.
Yes, why are they saying it? That's a very good point.
They're saying it because they want to say it. I don't know.
Well, guess what? It bugs football players to have some jackass up there with 14 beers in his belly going, go, go, get a field goal. Oh, yeah? What else? What else do I not know? I mean, it's insulting. It's degrading. We live in a day and age, Phil, where people are trying to be more respectful of each other, you know, and respect human rights and the dignity what we have. And when you're standing there, you know, and you're...
Oh, come on, man. You can't... You're not going to start to frame this in terms of human rights, are you?
No, but I'm simply... It's a human dignity issue. It's a human dignity question to be talking to people who are up there in the stands and they're saying, you know, go, 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 go. And I'm a football player. I get no respect at all. I'm so stupid that I got to have a guy in the stands telling me, go, 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 go. You know?
It ain't about that, though, is what I'm trying to tell you. And
yes, but you cannot explain why it's different.
That's the problem. If you're able to explain it, Phil, you know...
Look, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, okay?
Maybe I do. But if you can't explain it, then I don't know why I believe what I do. And I want to be able to believe, but I can't believe if you can't explain it.
Why do I got to explain it in order for you to believe it?
Because he can't think of a reason.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Because he can't think of a reason, it's my responsibility.
Well, what I'm saying is this, Phil. You're the guy that's saying that go, go, all that cheerleading stuff is important, right?
I'm saying it makes sense for fans to want to do it, yeah.
Okay. But you can't say why, and so Robert is left with no belief system, you see?
Why is it up to me?
Why is it what up to you?
Robert's belief system.
Because you're the guy that said...
I didn't invent it. I'm not the guy that said, you know, hey, everybody, let's go cheer, and it won't make any sense, and I'm telling you, we're talking about this far too long.
Well, Phil, I think that's what you're saying, because you can't come up with a good reason as to why do we all do it? I do it. I'm in the grandstand at a football game, and I go, 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 go. And then I look at Frank, and I look at Jason J., and I think of what's at home. I think of the roast I have in the oven. I think of the laundry that I have to do. I think of the men that I have loved. And I want to take that little derringer that I don't carry in my purse, but I want to go home, take it out of the drawer, and just do what we used to call the ooh. Do you know what that is?
Oh, the ooh, yeah.
No, what's that?
That's the shape of the mouth when you put the barrel in, you see?
Oh, yeah.
What a morbid, morbid topic.
Oh, Phil, grow up.
No, that's the ooh. Ooh, then a barrel goes in.
Oh, is that what that is? What a morbid thing to talk about.
No, you idiot.
Okay, don't call me an idiot or all bets are off. Let's take a break, folks.
Sorry, I didn't mean to call you an idiot, Phil.
Yeah, let's take a break. I want to go home and do the ooh.
You find that funny?
Yeah, I do. I find it funny. I find it funny that you... want to blow your brains out because you were cheering at a football game. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Shut up, bud. I said to shut up.
can of cookies.
The cookies.
What are the cookies when you talk about...
Hold on. We're back here on the live Phil Henry Show, and it's live every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising is with us. We're talking about the sporting scene, specifically the cheering of crowds. And we'll get back. And we also had Brad on to talk a little bit about Cuban television. I don't know whether Brad is listening to us. I know he's on hold, and we're going to get back to him in just a moment. Because we had that story on the fact that Cuban TV is very interesting. There is the propaganda that the Cuban government feeds its people. There's radio and TV Martí out of Miami, which is U.S. democratic propaganda from the Cuban-American community to Cuban compatriots and citizens of Cuba. And then there's a third wheel on this odd media tricycle, and that is the Cuban government itself affording its own citizens the opportunity to see shows like Grey's Anatomy, Friends, and Desperate Housewives. In other words, there are American programs that they simply, you know, the Cuban people want to watch. There's another, Oz, the prison show, 6 Feet Under. And these are all shows that are off the air now here, right?
Yeah, a lot of shows they're not even producing, so it's just like the cars they got down there. They got...
Well, they sort of recycle old American shows.
Yeah, they're recycling old American shows, and that's interesting. So Brad will be with us here. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass affords you the opportunity to watch our show, as well as listen to thousands and thousands of hours of radio shows and... shows that go back over a decade, shows that cover a multitude of generations of the Phil Henry Show, from our national syndication to local shows, a year's worth of our local Los Angeles show on Saturday night, including the video cast. We've got a 30-day video archive. Man, it goes on and on and on and on, and it's like $9.95 a month. It's a beautiful thing. We've got more content than Sirius XM, in my opinion, and we're about $3 cheaper a month. So check it out at philhenryshow.com. Now, as far as our iOS folks out there watching on iPad or iPhone, this is something that we're aware of, and we're in comunicado with people at Bright Cove, and we'll see what
whether we can wake them up.
Yes, whether we can wake them. No, not if we can wake them up. We'll see what they think is going on. All right, Brad Rifkin out there in Las Vegas tonight. By the way, how's the weather?
Here in Vegas, you know, people don't think the desert gets cold. It gets cold.
Because I wanted to ask, because I've got a friend of mine that lives up there, and they were telling me it was raining.
Yeah, it was raining a little bit.
Because we had some rain here.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. How's the weather? Oh, baby.
Yeah, get to the meat of it.
Hey, man, I'll get to the meat of it.
Get to the meat of it. Get a load of him. Get to the meat of it.
And Annie, what's with you?
Well...
Just because, you know, Mr. Green called up and started busting our chops over that lousy interview we did in the first hour doesn't mean that you're Mr. Green Jr., okay?
Well, Phil, you're talking about cheering, and you haven't answered my question, which is, why do we cheer? Now, you know, I said that I feel like going home and swallowing the barrel of that little Derringer that Frank bought me. And he got it for me as a joke because Nancy Reagan had a little bitty gun.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. Nancy Reagan had one of those.
A little bitty gun.
Yeah, didn't you remember when she said she had a little bitty gun?
No, she was talking about, well, I better not say.
What?
She said that President Reagan had a little bitty one.
No, she didn't, you stupid.
She almost said coon.
I did not. I did not, Phil.
I didn't hear it.
I think she almost did, yeah.
Yeah, you did. You almost said the C word.
Wait a second. Did she say it or didn't she?
I didn't say any such thing.
I thought I heard you say coon.
Well, if she said it, then that's one thing. Did she say it?
I thought I heard it, but I probably didn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to belt both of you guys just for the kicks, just to feel what it's like to dish out some pain tonight. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea?
If I were there, I would do it, Mr. Henry.
Yeah. What do you think, guys?
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought I heard her say coon.
Yeah, you thought. I apologize, Brad.
That's okay. I mean, Phil, I've always said when I go on your program, I basically kiss the real world goodbye for however long I'm going to be on your show. I mean, that's very serious. My daughter, who is now, by the way, a 30-year-old woman with kids of her own, but I was talking to my daughter tonight because they were over. I said, I'm going to be on the Phil Henry show tonight, And she said, leave your valuables. I said, yeah. But I did. I took my wallet out. And I, you know, I told her what her will was.
What is this, some kind of a running joke in the family?
Well, it's her way and my way of saying that I'm going to be kissing this world that we're in, the one that I was in before I got here, goodbye for a while. Because being on your show, Phil, I enjoy it immensely, but it's got nothing to do with reality, and it's, you know that. You know that.
Well, no, I don't know that. No, I don't.
You don't know that people that come on this program, this is the buzz in town, Phil, that going on your show, you might as well get in line.
Get in line for what?
Get in line for electroshock.
Yeah.
Get in line for insulin shock or electroshock, yes.
Yeah.
Is that right? It's that painful, huh?
Well, I'm just telling you. It's look at what we did. I'm hearing your bumper music, and we just spent the last few minutes talking about Derringer and Ronald Reagan's little bitty gun and how electroshock beats your show. So, do you understand? Do you see what you're doing, Phil?
Thank you very much, Brad Rifkin. It was exciting. We'll be back next hour. More interesting news and views here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Saturday morning. Wow, that's really cool.
Yes, it's Saturday.
Phil Hendry.